This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's fun. Yeah, there's a reason for the expectations, because I think we had expectations when we sat out here last year.
Yeah.
It was a touch bit more, and JJ mentioned this a little while ago, a little bit more hopeful last year. This isn't a hopeful expectation. It's a bit more of a demanding expectation. And, you know, last time I think we had that was 2017, which just so happened to be just a few weeks before the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes. So really, this to me is the greatest opening day that Kansas City's ever seen, where there's true expectations based on evidence coupled with the greatest quarterback of all time and a dynastic football team across the way.
Oh, no big deal. You just might have the best football player on the planet and the best baseball player on the planet at the same time.
And they seem like good dudes, great Kansas Cityans.
Oh, the Players Tribune article from Bobby yesterday was awesome.
And they both love the city and are like they are cut from the same cloth. And I don't just say that because we're in Kansas City. Like, if you're around them enough, they are determined winners. Like, I will fall on my sword to win. Like, you know, and that, you don't get that out of every athlete. We always try to pretend like everyone cares at that level. They don't. Some guys care about money or a million other things or whatever. Those guys both, like, when Bobby says, I don't have any season goals for myself, my goal is to win, he means it.
Yeah. Oh, without question. And the thing that interests me, a lot of things interest me when it comes to Bobby Witt Jr., but I don't know when you guys would know better than me, when the first time you would say, when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, there's what makes mm-hmm. him great. You know, maybe it's the throw against the Niners. Maybe it happened early, but it now happens pretty consistently in big games. You see the fire in Patrick Mahomes. Oh, that's what makes him great. He can dig deep and find something extra that nobody else really in the history of the sport's been able to find. Bobby doesn't show that very often. He's always that, you know, salt of the earth, humble, nice young man. There are certain occasions, I always bring up the triple that he hit in that great comeback against the Mariners, when he shoots a glare to the dugout that, man, still gives me chills. You could feel it in your bones. Whatever that fire is that allows Bobby to be the best player on the planet, he doesn't show it very often. His teammates don't get to see that fire very often, but in talking with Vinny Pasquantino a few weeks ago, he says, we'll see it on occasion in tight games, in big moments, in the dugouts. You can see that competitiveness. You can see that fire, that desire, that want to win within Bobby. So I'm interested if if that comes to the forefront a little bit more, because it seems whenever there's a big game across the parking lot, Patrick's putting those emotions and that fire for everyone to see.
You're calling this year the sophomore album. Why? We know if everybody's been following this since, what, 2012 when you first started doing this, maybe? Mm-hmm. Why the sophomore album? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think last year, baseball fans fell in love with the Royals. You know, I understand people are over the Chiefs and there's more haters than there are supporters. I think this Royals team is, you know, basically like where the Chiefs were in 2019, 2020. It's tough not to like young Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek and Kelsey and that early Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs ball club. Yeah, I think the average baseball fan loves Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, those guys became stars last year with that debut album of 2024. Bobby's one of the 5 most marketed players, 10 most marketed players in Major League Baseball. Salvi and Waka, I think, further cemented just great careers. If you're a baseball fan, you're aware now of Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo and Vinny Pasquantino, not even a diehard baseball fan. But if you're an average baseball fan, you now know those names. So I think last year's debut album put these guys on the map, made them stars. And even if there were, and you guys know, there were a lot of doubters in April, May, and into June last season. Those doubters are few and far between now. Everyone loves the Royals. Everyone's on the bandwagon because of what they did last season. So now as we prepare for 2025, how do you follow it up? Because if they do the same, Cody, if it's a repeat of 2024, if they're the DMX of baseball or the Clash of baseball and they just do on the second album what they did on the first, a lot of us would take it. But if we're being honest, I want to see everything that I fell in love with last year and a little bit more. I want to see that evolution. I want to see that growth. I want to see the improvement. Can you be Nirvana, A Tribe Called Quest? Can you be Led Zeppelin, Kendrick Lamar? And the second is even better than the first. That's the question. And I think fans will give excuses like fans of bands do. Even if you're not vibing to the first few tracks, you'll go along with it. You'll try to see what they're doing. You'll make excuses. But that's only going to last so long before they start calling you Hootie and the Blowfish.
No, you don't want to be that. You don't want to be – I mean, look, Hootie's fine, I guess.
Hootie's done well. Darius Rucker's not around.
He's done fine for himself, you know.
No, Darius is overall doing well, but Hootie –
R.I.P. DMX?
Yeah, R.I.P.
I thought so. Yeah. At least, look, here's the truth.
The great DMX.
They are – there's a photo of my wife. She's like – 15 years old, where's heading to
going?
Spain with
like
DMX. She's heading to DMX at Spain airport.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For just no reason.
Good for her for taking advantage of that opportunity.
Her two best photos are that one, and she has a photo of the original Beethoven from the movie at a Blockbuster video.
No kidding, huh?
And I just like, they were like doing tours. I was like, those are two amazing photos of youth. I can't top those.
No, and you got, I mean, young Patrick Mahomes. You've been to Super Bowls and World Series.
I can't be Beethoven.
She has Darkman X and the original Beethoven.
Man. When I don't think it's that crazy to think that the sophomore album will be better, though. Last year, we talked on this right here, sitting here last year. We were like, well, 80% of the roster is different. And that's fine because they lost 106 games last year, so whatever. This year, they didn't have to change that much. They just said, what if our bullpen had 3 guys who were better than everyone else last year and we just pushed everyone down the order? And then what if we counted on this offense being better and instead we gave ourselves a true leadoff hitter and we'll still bank on the same things? Hope Massey's keeps improving. Hope MJ turns it around. Hope Isbell is a better hit. Whatever, right? But we just gave ourselves a true leadoff hitter too. Equal quality in starting rotation, way better in the bullpen, equal quality in the lineup, except for better now because you have the – like, it doesn't seem like a leap to me that this is a better team.
Yeah, but, I mean, you are kind of skimming past the fact that Bobby was MVP runner-up, Lugo was Cy Young runner-up.
And they were healthy.
Reagans finished fourth for the Cy Young. So, yeah, if you're going to tell me that those three things will be duplicated – Michael Wacha's going to make 25-plus starts and 170 innings. Well, then, yeah, I agree. The sophomore album will be certainly no worse than what we saw last year. But a lot like what they're saying in Minnesota right now, Twins fans, you know, the big three in this lineup, Vinny, Salvi, Bobby, the big three in this rotation with Waka, Lugo, and Reagans, if they can be what they were last year and duplicate it, this team's going to be there in the end. Just like they're saying with, you know, Royce Lewis, Correa, Byron Buxton, and then their starters in Bailey Ober, Joe Ryan, and Pablo Lopez. If the Royals can stay healthy, I'm with you. They are even better than last year. Now, again, I do think we're skimming over what Brady Singer meant to that team.
There
was an outside case that he could, you know, sneak his, you know, backdoor his way into the All-Star game. He was pitching so well in the first half of last season. I believe in Chris Bubich, but dude needs to go do it. Michael Lorenzen, you know, if he can avoid the walks, that's a solid number five starter. But let's remember, 4-5 last year for the first half of the season, Alec Marsh and Brady Singer, we had conversations on this show that each of them at times were the third best arm in this rotation. Will we have that conversation at some point about Bubich and Lorenzen? I hope so. Certainly not banking on it.
We're talking to Josh Fernier, our Royals insider. Reminder, his On Deck show gets going at 2 o'clock right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. A couple days ago, we went through and gave what we view as our bold take of the entire season. Text line chimed in as well. For me, it was Carlos Estevez. Of course, they signed him on that two-year deal to have a career high in saves and be an all-star. And you're like, well, how do we get here? Well, 31 saves was a career high, or is his current career high. He was an all-star that year back when he was with the Angels. It's been 2 years, I believe it is, since he did that. If we think this team, and I do at least, is going to be in that 90-win range, the fact that they have multiple bullpen arms, yeah, maybe they can rotate him around. Urseg seems more of a fireman type of role than, oh, he's going to be our ninth inning guy. What do you think of that as a take? Do you think that's crazy?
Certainly not crazy, because the ability and the paycheck given to Carlos Estevez lends itself to accumulating saves. You know, Urseg still pre-arb. Hunter Harvey's not making a lot of money. Angel Zerpa's not making a lot of money. And, you know, JJ still has a boss, and you want to be able to present to your boss, hey, that guy we gave all this money to, look at all the saves that he's been building up. Listen, Ian Kennedy picked up 30 saves for the 2019 team.
That's
that
crazy.
Team stunk out loud.
True.
So 32 saves from Estevez, and an, you know, I think the All-Star bid might be more difficult than the saves,
sure,
just because
Classe and these other guys in the
Bobby's going. Yeah. We're hoping that a starter or two will go. Salvi's likely going. To me, he's like an offensive lineman in the Pro Bowl, man. You've done it enough. You just
you're
go
in
after a while. So I think there are three Royals that are almost automatically all-stars if they can stay healthy. That's not even talking about a guy that I think is the best first baseman in the division, Vinny Pasquantino, Seth Lugo, and then a bullpen arm might be the fifth or sixth option. So I think the saves, honestly, more likely than making the all-star team.
Mine is that Massey's going to hit 25 homers.
Which is another way of saying Massey stays healthy all season.
Yes.
Sure.
I might as well. I mean, that is those are similar sentences because he definitely has 25 home run power.
Yeah.
I don't fear it from that end. He obviously
does. He have a total? Because if you would have asked me, I would have said 20,
offshore,
22.
Offshore is
like
not even that. It's lower than that. 17, 18.
Okay.
It's a number a little bit lower than you would think.
Well, I'd take the over because
him.
Again, and I've mentioned this to you guys before, you know, Massey, like so many in the past, is one to obsess, especially in the cage. And you know, hitting at the big league level, there's so much failure, you could understand how that would consume your every waking thought. So I think, you know, him learning a new position in spring training helped take his mind off of the, you know, over analyzing his swing and just working himself into the ground. That coupled with the confidence boost that I think he received with that October performance, 25 home runs, not out of the realm of possibility.
What would yours be? What would your bold stance on like something
for
that
a
happens?
Player? Yeah, I guess
sure,
for a player.
Sure. My guess for Massey's home run, I would say over 20 home runs.
Okay,
certainly for Massey, a bold, Noah Cameron makes 10 starts.
Ooh, okay. Wow. That's bold.
Is that bold?
I think so.
Somebody earlier tried to say Jack Caglione will hit 15 home runs. I was like, when's he getting up?
Whoa.
When's he getting up? That's even bolder than what
15 homers in 25 games, Vern.
Yeah.
He just comes up and he has that Ellie run.
The thing is, though,
September.
You know, and I do it too often where I try to tamper expectations and I bring everybody down and I'm a bucket of cold water. And then I listen to Mike Sweeney talk about Jack Caglione. I listened earlier this morning to George Brett talking about Jack Caglione. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? To hell with it. I mean, if the greatest Royal ever and, you know, arguably the greatest right-handed hitter that this organization has ever seen. If they're willing to heap praise on a young man like that, and I know they get paychecks from the Royals, but it big leaguers, just like, you know, broadcaster, some young broadcaster walks up, you guys are going to be like, oh, you're the best, you're the next greatest thing. No, you got to earn your stripes, right? You got to get some dirt in your cleats. And Cags doesn't have any dirt in his cleats, and the Goats are already calling him the next Bo Jackson.
So for Noah Cameron, do you think that it's eventually Lorenzen kind of wiggles his way out of that five spot? Because he feels like he's just kind of holding it anyway for either Marsh or Wright or Cameron in this case anyway. So
somebody's getting hurt in the rotation, though.
I mean, that's sad.
I know, I hate to say that, yeah. But somebody, they were so healthy in the rotation last year.
And listen, you know, the initially, I want to respond with, you know, Bubic eventually finds his way out of the rotation. But in listening to JJ a little while ago, you know, you accumulate not only his numbers that he put up innings-wise at the big leagues, but the minor leagues and rehab assignments. And, you know, JJ put a number of 130 to 150 innings out there for Bubic.
That could be 25 starts.
And if you manage him right, that could be, you know, basically the whole season. You skip a few starts here and there. But to me, Cameron replaces him. I think that's an easier trick. They're both very similar in that they're not going to overpower you with velocity, but they're going to hit their spots, hitting all four quadrants of the strike zone. I still don't think Bubic ends the season in the rotation. I'm with you. I don't think Lorenzen does either. Cameron Marsh maybe come and save the day down the stretch.
Also, Kyle Wright, he's on the IL to start the season. What do you expect out of him?
I don't know.
Like a dart throw to me. Like
lottery
ticket.
Like what was Chris Medlin a few years ago? You know,
you
I think he made half a dozen starts, pitched out of the bullpen. No, I'm hoping it's more. You know, you're coming off an injury like that, and immediately in spring, you tweak your hamstring. It just seems as if you try to rush it, you try to put too much on his plate, you're overcompensating somewhere else, and that leads to a further injury. So it's all gravy, in my opinion. Maybe not John Sherman's opinion, but right. It's all gravy the way I see it with Kyle Wright.
Josh Fern, you're joining us here on Cody and Gold. MJ Melendez, that's the name all spring training everybody's been just trying to figure out, right?
Yeah.
Like for his own personal career, this is a huge season. For the Royals to swing from maybe being an 85 to 87 win team to a 90-plus win team, maybe MJ Melendez is the answer to that. You saw him in spring training. Everybody says he looks good. How confident are you that that can click at the plate for him this year?
Well, I don't want to say that I'm not confident, but I'm not pulling out the pom-poms.
You're not buying yet. Yeah.
We know he's good. We've seen him good for multiple months consistently, right? The second half of 24, the second half of 23. He was a quality number six, number seven hitter with some pop. I mean, even earlier in the season, he won you a few games last year. The thing is with MJ, though, they're no longer shackled to him. If he stinks, we know India and Massey have been moonlighting in the outfield. Now, if he and Renfro both stink, okay, we might have a different conversation. I just think they're better protected, and I think that's why you saw so much. It's why you saw the versatility highlighted the way that it was with Massey and India and Garcia all getting time in the outfield. So, listen, I know it's in there for MJ Melendez. We all could talk about the swing changes all we want. But what do you do when you're 0 for 10? Do you revert back to what got you here? You know, who's in your ear? What are they telling you? Or, you know, you got to the big league swinging a certain way. Are you convinced that you're going to abandon that and try something different? It's easier said than done. It's easy to try new things out in spring training. But when you're out here in front of 40,000 and, you know, the team's struggling, fans are getting on your case, you might just say to hell with it, and then that could lead to, I mean, honestly, it could lead to the end of your time in Kansas City. It could lead to your exit from big league baseball. We've seen guys go from the next big thing to out of the game in the blink of an eye plenty of times.
It's why I think more than any player probably on the entire team, we've talked about other slow starters on this team. Like, Vinny's been kind of a slow starter every once in a while. He has to have a good start to the season because the Moose comparisons, for those to work, he has to get the confidence Moose got from the 2014 postseason run. He has to go up there and hit and feel like he can hit. I feel like if he starts the season well, then he will stick with it. And those things will continue. And MJ won't be worried about it all the time. Look, he was pretty telling with us when the interview he did. We said, his dad's been telling him for 3 years to change his swing. He's like, for years my dad's been saying, change it. His dad, a baseball coach, has been telling him it isn't, you know, like you should do something different. But it is hard when you get to the bigs. But I feel like he needs the confidence that, like, it's actually a successful system.
I agree 100%. And, you know, last year I think he was able to persevere through the offensive struggles because he was playing some pretty good defense, running the bases well. He was still able to help the team win. Confidence is key, but you can search for confidence for a while so long as the team is winning. If he's struggling and the team is struggling, that could be a very rapid downward spiral.
Cole Reagan's opening day starter here in a couple hours. We'll play some of our conversation with him again coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We were saying, like, he's one of the guys, like, we feel like you just don't even worry about. Like, I feel like we know what we're going to get. The question is there even another level to that? And I don't know does that even exist? I mean, the guy had 223 strikeouts last year.
I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what...
And that's pretty much asking more. Peach pitching.
Yes, I'm saying. I feel like we know what we're getting. One of the best pitchers in baseball.
Because I wouldn't ask them to, you know, pull him earlier than they did because you have a better bullpen. No, you do that with Lorenzen. You can do that with Bubich. Maybe even Michael Wacha doesn't face a lineup a third time through. But Lugo and Reagan's, man, you can go all nine if you have it. Just being face-to-face with Cole, your guys' conversation with him, What struck you about the personality, about the man?
He strikes me a lot more like Wade Davis. He's machine-like. He cares every detail, every moment, every pitch. I think he thinks about it analytically in the sense that he wants to execute. Terminator stuff, right? I view him like that kind of pitcher.
The only pushback to Wade Davis is I don't think Wade Davis was on the verge of throwing up every single time he threw.
He says once he starts pitching, he says that goes away.
Right.
So I think there is, like, that's the difference. But I think once he starts pitching, all that fades.
That's what he said. Yeah, he said, once I'm out there, I'm good. But
he gets jitters as well. It's wild. I mean, it's appreciated, especially if I was a young ball player listening, because I know when I was coming up.
Oh, I was a nervous player.
Oh, I was just throughout school, all day, I'd be like, please don't hit the ball to me. You know, oh, my God. And I loved it, but I was just so nervous. For him to put that out there, I think, is reflective of a very confident and secure young man.
Tomorrow night, Vern, you got a roundtable with Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell. We're all going to be out there, plus a meet and greet with the players. 6 o'clock, Hollywood Casino.
Yeah, I'll be out there quite a bit earlier trying to
meet up. Get some bets in for the Sweet 16.
Possibly. Well,
He's got the Michigan hat on.
Yeah, I'm just going to follow gold. You gave me a few the other day when I passed
you at the weekend
studio.
Treated me better. Yeah. The first 2 days of the tournament was not great. Saturday and Sunday were much better.
Well, yeah, we can go out, we can make some bets, but I'm also going to try to find out what the Royals fan in attendance tomorrow at Hollywood Casino, what you want to know. So I'll take your questions for today's center fielder and today's second baseman, Kyle Isbell and Michael Massey. And then, they'll be signing autographs. They'll take pictures. They'll chat it up, look back, hopefully, on today's victory. Should be a great time. I know they're excited.
Yeah, another reason for a win today, right? Like, everybody's just going to feel even better. They get a win today. Not it's one game, but you know what I mean. It's just a different vibe. Plus, the Sweet 16 is going on, so if you do want to slide over there after we're talking and hang out, Cody's trying to talk me into go playing craps instead after the
I said, let's get a table. The listeners, let's get a table going.
Yeah, do some craps after we hear from the guys.
Yeah, that's where you'll find me. I'll be right there next to you guys.
Are you suiting up tomorrow? Are you going polo? What are you doing?
Haven't thought about it, but probably something similar to what I'm wearing right now. I just always try to dress like a professional golfer. I hate golf.
But they dress like a professional.
They look so comfortable.
Some right of those, off, those
the shirts
pants,
all
yeah.
breathe. The pants breathe. I'm a sweaty dude, so I'll be dressed like a hack golfer.
And just for those who haven't met him, Massey and Isbell, great guys to interact with.
Oh,
I mean, we've got a great relationship with Massey on the show, too. But, just great people to interact with and be around.
Yeah, and without sounding like a homer, really, that clubhouse is jerkless.
Yeah.
It's tough to find someone where you're like, I've had guys where
you've been around plenty of guys.
I root against them. I don't want you to succeed because you're a whatever. They don't have that. No, man. And it's no surprise. That's Q. That's JJ. You guys know John Sherman, Bobby, Salvi, the leaders on this team. Good dudes. along with great ball players.
That was that comment stood out for me from JJ. He said it was a perfect spring training. Like, there was ne'er a thing out of place. Everyone showed up. Everyone worked. Everyone went home. Like, he said it was a flawless spring training.
The thing that kept striking me as I would stand in that clubhouse was there are no youngsters, right? There's no one where I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to see how you handle. The only person that hasn't been a part of a playoff chase in that clubhouse is Jonathan India.
And that's he's wild. A professional baseball player.
The only guys that haven't appeared in a playoff game are India and Daniel Lynch. And Lynch was just because they had so many other pitchers to turn to last season. So even though age-wise they're not a old group, it's a clubhouse full of vets that have been there, done that, or at least pretty deep into October.
Lastly, I know you've got to get ready for On Deck Show coming up at 2 o'clock, but little switch in the pitching matchup today. Food poisoning? Have you figured out what restaurant poisoned the Cleveland Guardians pitcher for today's game?
Now, that implies that it was, you know, like the Michael Jordan in Salt Lake City.
Oh, you don't think he was just at Grand Falloon and had a good time last night?
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't.
Before opening day, that'd be a wild time.
I would like to think that a restaurant on the text line right now would claim it.
Yeah, just stake your claim now.
Kansas City will love you forever. You do something like that so long as Ben Lively doesn't come out and cut him off.
Yeah. Wait to take credit until after the win.
Right.
Yeah.
Ben Lively, a guy that was a former Royal.
He barely even played it here. I mean, he was here.
He was given up by like five different teams.
Yeah. He was really good for Cleveland last year.
Very good.